Hi, this is Leo, and if I want to know what's happening in Linux, hey, I'm going to listen to the Linux Link Tech Show.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show! Tech Show! Tech Show! Yeah!
The Linux Link Tech Show is on.
Is on.
Your link to GNU Linux and the latest technology. 2 hours of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Free software, free speech, open technology,
and open mic.
I love it.
Now, live from the Linux Link Tech Show studios, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up and take it away.
This is Pat. We're at a little Ohio Linux Fest. I got Aaron Newcomb from The Source here.
Hey, everybody.
How's it going?
Good.
Alan's over here to my left. Say hi, Alan.
Hello, hello.
Speak it to the mic.
Hello. Yeah, I know. I'm trying to tighten the mic stand over here. But hello.
What's up, man?
Not a whole lot. Still waking up. Still waiting for Dan to come out of his coma.
Oh, my God. Last week, we rolled me, Alan, and Link rolled into town around noonish. You left really early, 4 o'clock in the morning from Pennsylvania. And we got here about noonish. I brought a case of really good beer, some Weyerbacher from Easton, PA, which is an award-winning microbrewery from Easton. And I started drinking those, you know, nothing too crazy, one at a time, nice pace. And I was doing that for most of the afternoon. You know, I got a little buzz going after a while.
And you didn't save any for me, of course.
Actually, there's some few left in the room, so if you want to come by later, you can try one.
It helps that I just realized I had the recording on standby over here. So.
Oh, that's the backup. So
yeah, that's
we're
all right.
Okay.
We missed the first 15, 20 seconds there, but no big deal.
Not a big deal at all. So
first time with the new equipment.
Yep. The first few people we saw were like Dave Yates. I saw that Russ Wenner and his dad were there. Those were the really early people. And then, you know, as the day progressed, people started trickling into town. We went out to dinner to the Mongolian Wok, which was awesome. I ate way too much food, man. I felt like my stomach was going to burst.
Oh, me too. Me too. I was stuffed.
And then afterwards, we went to Barley's for the pre-party, and we had a blast. This year, we had the basement room, which is this really long room downstairs. And it's literally where the brewing is done in that place. And it's pretty cool. Luke wants to say hi. You want to say hi, Luke?
What are we doing? We're doing a show.
We're doing
here.
A live show, Luke.
We're doing a radio show.
You have to talk into the mic.
You want
to
say hi, Luke?
Really?
He's running away.
No way. He doesn't
want to
say hi.
That's Joel McLaughlin, Gorkon.
Oh, there we go.
Hi.
There's Luke. Hi, Luke. That's Joel's son. He's here. And
it's
he's
the fun
hi.
Of live.
So last night at the party, Dan got really trashed.
Yeah,
it was hysterical.
He got smashed.
Dan barely made it home.
That's a line, by the way.
Somebody had to walk him home.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I volunteered, but he wasn't done drinking yet, so.
Yeah, it's quarter after 10, and Dan is yet to move.
He is a mess. I got up really early. I got up about 6:30.
Oh, is he still in the room?
I took a shower. Yeah, he's up there. He's a mess.
He hasn't come out of the room yet.
He called me on the cell phone about a few minutes ago. Say hi, Joel.
I am happy to say I didn't drink anything at all, so.
That's your loss, Joel.
More. Did you get him a hacky sack ball?
I'm hoping to get him out.
A little penguin.
So we're set up here in the community. It's a little different setup this year at Ohio Linux Fest. In previous years, we had this one section that was kind of small.
Yeah.
And they had the three conference rooms and like all the tables were set up in the concourse there, right in front of the conference room. This year it's a little different. What it is they have like a separate room for where all the community projects are. It's a pretty large room. I'd say there's probably about 20 tables set up over here. And then what they have is the conference rooms where they do the presentations. And then upstairs, there's a commercial vendor area. And I don't think anybody has actually walked in over there. It's been pretty quiet.
Yeah, what do you think about the setup? I'm not sure. I think I like it better last year. It's a little weird this year. For people that have to go upstairs, they have to go up the escalator and come back down if they want to go between the commercial booths and the .org booths.
Upstairs is where the talks and stuff are?
No, yeah.
The talks are around the side over here.
No. Actually, the two main venues are upstairs.
For the talks.
For the talks. There's the ballroom 4, ballroom 5, whatever. And then there's actually, I think, two or three more smaller talk areas. There's a BOF area, a BOF talk area, if you will, over here. Okay. For the people that are listening, I'm pointing now. And then there's, I think there's like a vendor. They call it the open source something room over here. And those are smaller rooms for smaller presentations.
Okay.
But it's a little weird having to travel back and forth between the two. I don't know if the setup works. Maybe next year they'll change it back to the way it was.
Yeah.
Well, you know what it is, man, this conference is getting pretty big.
Yeah, exactly.
It's growing. So.
They really need to move it to 2 days, I think.
Or the big hall inside, where the fencing is taking place now.
You know it's growing when the convention center people come running over and they charge you $90 for electricity.
Yeah.
$90 to plug two plugs in the wall.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
My laptop and the mixer.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, whatever. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You can roll with it. Yeah, we have a fencing competition going on over here in the convention center on the other side of the hallway. I see people with like looks like sabers and you know swords, and they're going at it.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
It's
actually,
like
it's
the U.S. Fencing Championship, I think it is.
Yeah, yeah, and there's actually a lot of the Linux folks that are here for Ohio Linux Fest are actually wandering over there because it is kind of interesting to watch. It's pretty neat.
And down the hallway there is the logistics officers event.
That's starting on Monday.
Yeah.
And what it is, it looks like it's like companies that are like military contractors.
Yeah, wanting to like sell off all their military garb and stuff like that. And
wow, that's kind of cool. That might be interesting to wander in there.
Yeah. Get me a helicopter.
Yeah, a small one. Just a small one.
Apache will do quite fine.
Yeah, that's fine. No problem.
Yeah, there was a lot of people at the party last night. I say the crowd was probably at least double what we had last year.
Yeah.
It was a
yeah.
big crowd of people at the pre-party. And there were a lot of people there. A lot of Linux podcasters. I mean, you were there, Aaron.
Yep, yep.
Dave Yates was there. Russ Runner was there. Who else? A bunch of guys from Linux Cranks.
Linux Basement.
Is this thing on?
Yes, Chad.
Well, Chad was there from
Hello.
Linux Basement.
Yep. Link, we hear you.
Hello.
He's alive.
What's up, everybody?
How you doing, Link?
Good.
What do you think so far, man?
What do I think so far? Honestly, I liked it better last year so far. I think the venue would be a lot better if it was, if everything was more compressed together. We're a little bit spread out this year. That whole springing the $90 power thing fee on us 20 minutes after we're already set up that we didn't know about was kind of not cool. But other than that, I'm having a good time. There's a lot of people that have showed up this year. A lot of our supporters of our show have stopped by and said hello. We have a great deal of swag to give away from
tons
some
of swag.
Really, really cool supporters of our show, sponsors. O'Reilly, Pearson Education, who's always been a good sponsor of us, and A-Press.
Yep.
Sent us all kinds of really wickedly great stuff to give away to everybody at the end of the show. And not only that, but Joe Bourne and Neuros has hooked us up completely this year with an OSD to give away. So if you're thinking about coming to the show, come to the show. Grab some raffle tickets. Maybe you can win this OSD we have going on here. They're awesome devices by a really, really wonderful company. And that's the way to be, man.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You guys really hooked up the books this year. You guys have like a bookcase worth of books.
Yeah, we're going to need another table next year.
That's what I said this morning. Like, you guys need a second table. You don't have room for all the books and the gear for the podcasting and all that
stuff. And all the swag that we're giving away.
It's going to take us an hour to give all this stuff away.
Yeah,
we went to 300-something hacky sacks, man. Just one hacky sack left.
That's right. I forgot about the hacky sacks.
They go quick. I'll tell you
what. They went fast.
Everybody loves free shit.
Yep.
Dave Yates.
So are you guys going to get to go to any of the sessions that you guys really want to go to? You're going to try to get to?
I mean,
I know Joe.
This is the session that we get to go to right here.
Joe Brockmeyer spoke this morning from Novell.
What did he say?
He talked about community. He's the community manager for Novell, so he talked about community, how to build a community. It was okay. It was an all right. I think everyone was tired because they started a little earlier this year. Started at 8:00, and I think everybody in the room was kind of drowsy. So
hungover.
Hadn't had their coffee yet. So yeah, and hungover exactly.
We had a very interesting pre-party last night.
Dan has not recovered yet.
Dan is still not here, and may not be for some time.
He's a mess, man. He called me on the cell phone about 5 minutes ago. He's like, I'm going to be well. I don't feel too good.
he's breathing, and we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, at least he made it back. That's what I was worried about. So at least he got back okay.
Yeah, at least he made it back.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good sign.
next year we'll have to do things a little bit different. He's going to have a curfew, you
yep.
know.
Yep.
Get it done all in by 10, and then we're carrying him back with one or the other.
With the way he was acting last night, we're surprised we didn't have to bail him out this morning.
Seriously. If I didn't know Dan, I think I would have punched him in the face a couple times.
Yeah, he was in rare form, that's for sure.
Very funny interesting. Stuff, man.
But yeah, there's a lot of good other topics coming up. I'm going to go to one here in a few minutes. It's actually a teenager. I'm going to talk about teenagers using Linux. I think it's going to be. I hope it's going to be really interesting.
That's great. Now, you have the opportunity to record any of these as you're going?
Yeah,
into conferences?
Actually, well, I'm
going
to record a little bit of her because I want to get an interview with her. If depending on how she does, depending on her, you know, whether she's comfortable speaking and stuff like that. I'd like to get
she's given a talk at a conference. Wouldn't she be comfortable speaking?
I don't know. That's why I'm curious. That's why I'm going to go to her talk first and see how she does and see how nervous she is. I don't want to make her nervous.
Right.
But, if she's willing, I'd love to get an interview with her.
All right.
Because I think it's a unique
and
perspective.
If you do want to make her nervous, you can bring her over to our booth. And
I will do that.
We'll actually. Help you out.
Yeah, exactly. I'll do that right before I have her
You
on.
Need some good so hecklers. You know, exactly. If she can pass the heckler test, then it's all good after that.
But I think it's a unique perspective. And it's really, when you think about it, that's the future of our community. And so to get their opinion now on how things are going and what's going on and what they think of things, I think is very important.
Sure.
And then also
and these are you're going to record this and have it available for us to hear or see
on your site.
Is it video that you're doing or
it'll
just
be video.
Audio?
Yeah, it'll be video and I've also
I'm talking to Aaron. Is it video? Of course it's video.
Of course it's video. That's all I do. Anymore. Anyway, there's John Mad Dog Hall, of course. I'll get an interview with him. John O'Bacon, I'm planning to get an interview with him if he ever gets here. I haven't seen him yet. Have you guys seen him yet?
He's probably hurting, too.
Yeah, I think he is. But I know he's doing a book
signing.
He's
not scheduled until later anyway, so he's probably
Mad Dog
relaxing.
And Jono, Mad Dog and Jono, I know, are doing book signings at 1 o'clock, I think. So I'm going to try to get him after that. But, yeah, we'll have several interviews up on the Source website. That's thesourceshow.org. And I'll probably break them into smaller doses this year. So there'll be, like, maybe one, two, three different podcasts out of it.
Great.
Get a little bit more mileage out of the
We love your show, Aaron. Today, so. You know, it's awesome that you do your show using 100% free and open source software like we do.
Yep, absolutely.
No fakies going on there. I seen him do it.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, bad right. form, man.
It's not like those lug radio guys who use like Macintoshes and Windows machines to cut their audio together.
And other people that use Windows software to stream their audio. On that
yeah. No, I just switched from, I was using Fedora. On my main workstation to
switch
do everything.
Switch to Vista now?
I switched to Vista.
Vista Ultimate.
actually, I think it's called, there's some new name. It's actually something, it's some new thing that they came up, Microsoft came up and said, hey, you want to try this? It's actually the next version of Windows. And I said, sure, yeah, I'd love to try it. I don't know what's going on, but I love it. I love it. It's great. No, actually, I switched to Ubuntu. I've always run Ubuntu on my laptop.
You've been a Fedora guy for a long time.
I've been a Fedora guy for a long time. I still love Fedora. I'm running Fedora 5, believe it or not, as my server. So if you go to the website, that's a Fedora 5 server sitting in my basement.
That's getting kind of venerable now,
it,
right?
It is. Yeah, I got
to
upgrade.
You're going to go to CentOS, maybe? Or are you going to go Debian or Ubuntu server?
I may stick with Fedora for the server.
No Open Solaris for you? Oh, come on.
Well, here's the deal with that is that I'd like to do Open Solaris.
I heard that you have a history with that company.
I do, actually. I do. continuing saga. No, I do work for Sun Microsystems. I love Open Solaris. I'm just not sure I want to run it as my server in my basement because I don't have time to mess with it as much. I'm not historically a Solaris guy.
Right.
I'd love to mess with it, but to run it as my server where the website's running and I need to get stuff pushed out quickly, I just don't want to take the time to...
Is there... I know this is getting kind of off topic, but you might know. Is there a license prohibition for running that as a anything other than a personal server kind of thing?
No, no, not at all.
You know what I mean? I thought it went... Maybe I'm going crazy, but I thought at one time there was...
I don't think so. I think
the license agreement was you can't run it on any... like business related
or
organizational related.
There's actually people
servers.
That are building their business on Open Solaris as opposed to Solaris.
Oh, well,
so they're actually creating appliances and things like that using.
I'm really
Open
happy
Solaris
I'm wrong about that. Then you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's That's absolutely good. No restrictions on using Open Solaris, and really it's
I don't
becoming
know where I got
more
that
like.
From, then.
I don't know,
like. I don't know, but it's really becoming more like Fedora and OpenSUSE.
That's what it seems like. They're really trying to make it almost like a Linux.
You know, it probably was regular Solaris that I got that from.
Yeah.
Instead of Open Solaris.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. So Open Solaris, everything that goes into Open Solaris will eventually make it into Solaris proper, which is, of course, supported by Sun. And, and actually, the interesting thing is, Fedora and OpenSUSE are technically supported by Novell or Red Hat, right?
Right, right.
But actually, Open Solaris, you can actually get a support contract that covers Open Solaris. So if you want the latest and greatest stuff and you're a little afraid, you know, hey, this stuff's new, it might break or whatever, you can actually get a support contract.
Get real support for it.
Get real support for
it. It's a gateway, really, for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's you know, something for them that they could try out and see if you like it.
Absolutely. No, they're doing some really cool stuff, so I would definitely keep your eye on it. It's becoming a lot – it's easier and easier to use. The install is a snap. It's actually I would say it's on par with Ubuntu.
It's a live CD installer now, right?
It's a live CD installer. They worked real hard.
I mean, I haven't seen the very latest one. I saw the revision previous to this latest one,
right,
which looks really great. I mean, I have a friend of mine at work that runs it. But I read about this latest one. It's supposed to be a live CD installer.
Yeah,
it looks
right.
really good. It runs GNOME, right?
Yep.
As a default desktop.
It's a default desktop.
Really familiar looking to Linux people.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
General,
you can run, you know, it's great because you get there and you need to edit some config files or something like that. You open up, you go to, you know, applications, text editor, you know, gedit.
It's very familiar.
Very, very familiar. And the other thing that's going to be familiar to you also is the package manager.
Right.
So we actually improved the package management system. And so now you installing package is on par with what the experience is like on Linux.
Right.
So you go to the package manager, you say, I want to install whatever, OpenOffice, or I want to install Apache, I want to install whatever. You just search for it, and you install it, and you're good to go.
A lot of credit there goes to our buddy Ian.
Yes, you know Ian Murdoch's involved, that it's going to be good product.
Ian Murdoch, who is 515, yes. And Ian is, you know, another guy who's always been much like a lot of other people that we have here. He's been a great friend of the tech show. You know,
definitely. So.
Yeah,
lots of cool people.
A he's wicked busy, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you guys had, I think you guys had a hard time getting him on the show.
Yeah, four times I've rescheduled.
Yeah, whenever I'm out in like San Francisco or the Bay Area or whatever and I try to hook up with him, he's just like, just so
stuff
busy.
Guy.
You have to literally hunt him down. So, yeah, but anyway, so things there are coming along really well.
Cool.
I will have, like I said, I'll have these video podcasts coming out from this show on thesourceshow.org, and I'll also have another episode. I have three more episodes in the can. They're just waiting for me to put together the intros and stuff like that for them, so they'll be coming out too. It's been a while.
Tough, man, because you're by yourself pretty much now.
By myself.
You're still looking for other people to help you out and work on it?
Not yet. Instead of looking for other people, it's been so difficult to find people that are actually, you know, can do the video work or editing and stuff like that. I mean, it's almost impossible.
You're into Sonalara mostly, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, what I've decided to do instead is just trim the show back, change the format a little bit.
Sure.
Do
you can do it by yourself. If you get somebody to help you, that's even better,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. So yeah, they're coming along. Should have something coming out here in the next few weeks. So be looking for that on the website.
Yep. All right, man. Nice
and, of course, you can also find all of his stuff available on the linuxplanet.org.
That's right.
I have to pimp that because it's become an increasingly cool resource, I think, anyway.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Yeah, I go there all the time now just to see what other people are doing, other podcasters in the community.
Yep.
See what's going on. And
good place to keep track of things.
Yeah, exactly. And what I found is that I didn't have time to go to all the sites before.
Right.
And if I go there, it's like, oh, I didn't know this guy was talking about this subject or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can get exposed to a lot more content that way. So
sure.
I'm glad that Dave brought it up as a suggestion. Dave Yates, by the way. Dave brought it up as a suggestion because... Where'd he go?
Oh, he's right over there.
He's over there.
He's playing with the new Asus toy that Chad bought.
No, it was a great suggestion, and I think it's working out great. You know, it's too bad Randall didn't want to join in on that.
Oh, well, that's
but,
his loss.
You know.
That's okay.
That's okay. That's okay.
Guy. All the cool people are already on there, so, you know.
Yeah, that's right. So, anyway, I'm going to run to this event, guys.
We'll talk to you later. Enjoy.
Yeah, we don't want to keep you. Go get your stuff done and enjoy the conference, and maybe we can talk to you again later.
I'll be hanging around. So.
All right.
All right.
Cool. Thanks a lot, man.
Peg Dave upside down.
Maybe we can
come
get the venerable, there he is, About to take the chair is the venerable David Yates.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Of the really cool lot of Linux Links, Linux user podcast.
Dave, the cease and desist is on the way when you get home.
And if you give me another half
you'll,
an hour,
you'll have
I can
the cease
say
and desist
again.
In the mailbox.
Okay.
The lot. You want to time me here? The lot of Linux Links, Linux user podcast.
Say that 20
times
quickly.
I can say it, but you can't say that real fast because you've got to have surgery on your tongue after you say that real fast.
A lot of LinuxLinks.com, Linux user podcast.
A lot of LinuxLinks.com.
Yeah.
Linux user podcast.
He's got practice.
You know what? The .com part kind of untangles your tongue a little bit so you can get the second
half
out.
Breaks up the monotony.
Yeah. That's pretty good. It's good thinking.
So what do you think, man?
This is great. This is better than last year.
You like it? You like the layout?
But it feels bigger.
It is bigger.
Yeah, I think it's bigger.
It's definitely bigger. I just wish that they had everything was together in one area.
Yeah,
I think would have made it a much better experience.
Yeah, I think this forces you to walk around a little bit more, and you know, I don't know. I may be less likely to go to some of the talks, but I think I enjoy just the milling around better anyway.
Right.
But
it's definitely more room.
Oh yeah, yeah. But there's stuff over here behind this wall that I've not been to yet.
Oh, really? Yeah, I haven't been over there.
I think.
Have you gone up to the commercial vendors upstairs?
When I left the keynote, I was in that area. I was in that area, but I didn't hang around anybody.
Right. Yeah, it sounded like it wasn't too active up there.
I don't have any booths they got up there. But.
So how long of a drive did you have from South Carolina?
8 hours and 43 minutes.
That's not too bad. Not too much.
That's almost four whole episodes of the Linux Link Tech Show that you could listen to.
I caught up with everybody else's podcast. I waited until I got over the mountains. I listened to about 7 hours of podcasts on the way up here. So.
That's a whole lot of that right there is dedication.
So, Dave, are you still going to do a call-in episode when you're driving home tomorrow?
I'm going to try. I've not done one of these yet.
These people are going to call your cell phone as you're driving?
It will call my cell phone. I'm using that Grand Central
number.
So they can actually click on my webpage, and I've not tested it yet, but I can't hook that to my cell phone.
Might have been a good idea to test it out first.
Yeah, that's the way I roll. But no, it should call my cell phone.
This is the test. That's what it is.
There you go.
Yeah, so I got beta testers that are going to help me out Sunday on the drive.
All right.
So. It'd be interesting if anybody calls. I don't know.
I'm sure that people will call.
Just don't drive off the side of the road.
No.
Be safe.
Your podcast has rapidly evolved to be more popular than our own. So.
No, heck no. You guys are the y'all deserve the cockroach crayons to go with the
title. Hey, let me ask you. I know I saw you talking to some of the people from the Ohio Linux Fest and also some of the people from the Ontario Linux Fest. And I guess you're digging their brains and stuff to get ideas regarding the Southeast Linux Expo coming up in June.
Yep. It's June 13th, 2009 at the Clemson University Hendricks Student Center. And I'm really just introducing myself at this point because to actually pick their brains here is sort of unfair to them. They're all just very, very,
very busy.
About what's
going
on. Mm-hmm. I talked with Beth Lynn. I talked with a bunch of people. And that's mainly what I'm doing today is just going around and trying to bug people about that a little bit.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
How's the planning going on with that? Are you making progress?
It's going good. We got a venue. We've just confirmed this.
It's at Clemson University.
We got a venue. We've got speakers that have agreed in principle to the date, so they don't have any conflicts.
I saw you approach somebody who was there.
Yeah. I talked with John Mad Dog.
He sounded like he was interested.
Yeah, he said if we had pulled pork and a hot sauce tasting contest, he would be there.
All right, man.
His priorities in the right place, man. Barbecue.
In South Carolina, that doesn't seem like that would be too far of a stretch.
We actually have five distinct barbecue regions. It's actually defined by...
Tell us about the five distinct barbecue regions.
I'm there, man.
We have the tomato-based, the mustard-based, the vinegar-based, and the other two I don't know.
See, no, I like the vinegar base myself.
Yeah. Vinegar's
that's
good. I also
I'm
like
at.
The dry rubs, too, sometimes.
Yeah. But none of this is really sweet. Mm-hmm. You got to go to Georgia or Texas or...
They're into that sweet stuff.
Memphis or something to get sweet stuff.
You guys are more into the smoky stuff, right?
But hot, mainly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all for me. I'm coming. Yeah.
Dude, bring a plate over, man. What the hell?
You know, the cockroaches of Linux podcasting will be there, I'm sure. And I will have my Rolaids in pocket.
Yeah,
so,
you'll need them.
You know, we're going to work on that one.
Everything's paid for. Nothing's paid for. I don't know why I said that, but nothing's paid for you. We're just approaching sponsors and vendors and stuff just now. But
now, how are you doing with sponsorship for this thing?
Like I said, we're just starting.
Yeah. Do you have any names on board yet that are people we need to give a shout out to? And
no.
Okay, that's fair enough. You're working on it.
Yeah,
fair
we're working on it. Trying our best.
It's a lot of work.
So if you work for somebody that needs to have their name shouted out on the air and have some appreciation of some Linux people, then you really need to get a hold of Dave Yates and get these people to sign their name on a dotted line so we can get this conference in order. Because it needs to happen. So.
DS Yates at LottaLinuxLinks.com.
The Southeast really needs a Linux conference, man. I know years ago you were telling us about the Atlanta Linux Showcase, which was a huge show back in the day, back in the 90s.
Yep.
And that eventually morphed and evolved into the Linux World Expo, which is no longer.
And the Atlanta Linux enthusiasts were the ones that put that on. It's like this Uber Lug down in Georgia.
Right.
And I've approached them. We're approaching Lugs. We probably got 13 or 14 Lugs that said they agree in principle to the Southeast Linux Fest, and they'll be there.
Rules.
How awesome is that, Mike? I didn't pick him up.
It was Chad Wallenberg, I think.
Yeah, it was Chad.
Okay. But I got
you should have seen the big kiss he gave him right on the cheek. I wish it was a video podcast. Yeah.
Tongue in my ear.
Speaking of Chad, Chad and me and Dan are in the same room. And Dan really got sauce last night, and he's a mess this morning.
Just a little bit.
In fact, it's 10:35 right now, and Dan has still not shown his face down here. He called before.
The conference started at 8. Yeah.
He was solid.
He's a mess.
Messed up last night.
And this morning, when I got up, like, Chad got up a little after me, and he comes out of the shower, and the first thing he does, he grabs his guitar, and he started serenading Dan.
Chad did.
Oh, yeah. He's like, I love you, baby.
The people in the room next door probably
give
heard
me a big
what the
kiss.
Hell's going on.
Did Dan move? Did he even know
what
was going
move,
on?
Man.
Chad says, you are my sunshine, my only sunshine.
That's great.
It's funny stuff, man.
You make me happy because I am gay.
Now, how many of these have y'all been to? This is your
third? This is our third one that we're here. And this is the first one
third
that we've
one
actually been charged $90 to plug something into an outlet.
Oh, they did it this year?
About 15
right
minutes after we're here.
Right after we started setting up, they said, oh, by the way, you owe us big money.
Yeah.
So, you know, next year we're just going to go with it.
I should put like a fishbowl.
We're just going to hang out at the Southeast Linux Fest.
I think we might have
next
to.
Next year, because Dave said that he'll hook us up, man. We get free barbecue and free electricity and good internet connection and...
Yeah.
What more do you need?
A reach around? I don't know.
And Clemson University's got, you know, better looking co-eds than Ohio State does.
They're pretty good over here, and I have to say.
Oh, that's probably fighting words, man.
Just as long as you don't say you're from Michigan, you're okay.
Oh, yeah.
right, Brian?
Here we go with a shop rat in the back giving us the finger.
Oh, Gorgon got a free movie.
Ooh, Revolution OS, which is a good flick, by the way. Did you get us one?
We got one already. We don't need another one.
What the hell is wrong with you, man?
They get 210 copies.
You know we're working behind the booth. We don't have time to go running around doing this stuff, man. We need to have a dedicated guy to take care of that for us, and you are supposed to be that man.
If I
sign up for the card, will you pay it? What good is that, man?
Part of your charges on this Visa card will go towards Linux and open source development. I believe the Linux Fund.
Good stuff.
I don't know. Luke, don't knock down the sign.
It's okay.
Yes.
You do a pretty good dog impersonation there, Luke. So, lots of stuff going on. It looks like the conference is let out. The talks have let out because I see lots of people here milling about now. It's starting to get a little more swelled. The way it used to be in previous years was...
It must be.
There would be nobody in the tables were set up during the talks. And then as soon as those doors opened up, it was literally a stampede of people coming out of there.
We have, at least this year, we have a little bit better location. We have this giant corner of space this year. So that when we do our raffle, which is going to be huge this year, we have room for the impending crowd of people. In previous years, it is wrapped around the aisles, and you know people couldn't see us and people couldn't hear us and stuff like that. So it should be a little bit better this year. We can kind of hold it off in a corner.
This will work real good at raffle time, for real.
We had a really big area in front of us here. So if we got, I mean, last year we had maybe, I don't know, 10 people deep.
Oh, it was more than
that. There were people wrapped around the corner.
There were people wrapped around.
We had at least 300-400 people standing there.
Yeah. I figured we had at least 300 people there. So. Yep, checked out that EPC 1000 a little earlier. That is a beautiful thing.
Yep. That's just the right side.
Chad from Asus is here, and he has the new Asus EPC.
Almost makes me want to have that instead of my Acer Aspire 1, except the Acer Aspire 1 is more than $100 cheaper, and it's the same speed.
How much cheaper?
More than $100 cheaper.
Wow. I put the TV on.
Acer Aspire 1 was $350,
really?
And that's with me getting a extra memory in it, and an extra gig of memory in there.
I wish I'd have waited.
This morning I put the TV on, and it was like QVC, or one of those, you know, shopping home network kind of things, and they were selling Acer Aspire ones with Windows XP, and guess how much they were selling them for?
What, $400?
$600 with a $100 rebate.
Gracious.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
People don't know.
No.
You gotta get the word out, you know?
Go to microcenter.com. They sell them for $349.
You get them on Newegg?
Yeah, Newegg.
Any of the vendors.
I got mine from microcenter, not .com. I mean, I actually went to the store, but...
Right.
Still, it was a good price, and I sort of conned them into doing a memory upgrade for me.
Because it's really difficult to open
them
up, right?
They don't know that. They do now. But, you know, when I went, their policy is they will upgrade your memory and your laptop for you if you buy from them for $20. And I said, you know, yeah, go ahead and do that. And then 45 minutes later, they came looking for me.
Yesterday we had all the minis all on the bed at the same time.
Yeah, I went and had them do it, and
we did 40
minutes later, they were looking for me again to tell me that they couldn't, that there was no slot to upgrade the memory in.
Oh.
And I said, well, yeah, there is, but unfortunately, you have to disassemble the entire laptop to get to the slot. And they didn't know that, so I had to show it to them. Yeah, they did it.
Luke is hanging out with us here.
I don't. The marker pens, I don't have.
Then
they
probably rewrote their policy real quick after Link left.
Yeah, I'm sure
they did. You ruined it for everybody else.
Right after
now they charge $50 now.
Yeah. Probably $100.
Look at Chad standing here. Chad, you want to come on and say hello?
Thanks, guys.
All right, Dave. We'll talk to you in a bit. We got Chad from Asus. We've had on the show before. How you doing, Chad?
I'm doing pretty good.
What you got there, man?
I've got the EPC 1000.
Ooh, that's the new
party too.
The new big screen one with the full keyboard. That's a real nice keyboard. It's a nice touchpad. It looks like a real nice device. Let me check that out.
It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah, the keyboard is full. This is nice. It's kind of similar vein. It's got that simple interface. It seems they're all kind of going down the same route where they have the simplified interface if you want.
That's a beautiful thing,
man.
It's
a real nice machine.
I was checking it out earlier.
Now, this one is an Atom-based processor, right?
Yes,
like the Acer.
Same thing. It's the same processor, actually, as Acer Aspire 1, right?
Yes, it's the 1.6 gigahertz Atom processor. It's got the advances over the 900 series.
Right.
Was adding wireless in capabilities, adding Bluetooth, and adding the Atom processor.
That's sweet.
Nice. That's a pretty beefy machine for what you get.
That's sweet. Now, what kind of RAM is it having it stock?
I don't know what vendor, but it's got 1 gigabyte. The ones we usually use when we put machines together is Kingston.
Right.
Yeah, memory, as long as it works.
Yeah.
Now, did you get the RAM upgraded in yours, or is it still the stock 1 gig RAM?
Stock. This is actually the company model. I got permission to bring it along.
Oh, it's a loader. Show it off.
Showing it off to everybody. Well, it definitely is a pretty machine. I like it.
It is a nice machine.
Yeah, it is.
It's just slightly bigger, than the Acer Aspire 1.
We'll have to do a boot up test.
A little bit bigger screen. Keyboard on this one, as opposed to some of the other EPCs, is really, really nice looking.
Much bigger
and
keyboard.
Nice feeling, too.
Looks like a full-size keyboard.
This is the first one where I actually find the keyboard usable.
It's pretty sweet.
That's really a kicking thing.
And the touchpad looks better,
too. Yeah, much unlike the Acer Aspire 1, the touchpad keys are in the right spot.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, that's...
That's the one thing he's gorking. One thing I don't like about the Aspire 1, I concur with Link, the mouse buttons are just wrong.
They're just in the wrong spot, that's all.
Yeah. I mean,
if you use an external
machine,
mouse
though.
With it,
have
it's
you played
wonderful.
With the
Jed?
Link has an Acer.
Yeah, I got one over there. I'll have to check it out.
No, I haven't tried it out.
Well, we got to do like a test. We'll do a boot up test to see which one comes up and
okay.
Respond.
How long does that take to boot up the EPC?
It's about 5 seconds.
Wow.
5 seconds?
Somewhere between 5 and 10. I haven't
really
timed it.
That's nice, man. That's
Acer Aspire 1 is 15. I can get it up in 15 seconds.
That is
pretty good.
Asus has done a great job. That is not all that much bigger than my 700. So, I mean...
Right, yeah, it's only 10 inches compared to...
Makes you jealous. You should have waited.
It does, man.
It's great, yeah.
I mean, it's a wonderful machine. You know, that is a... I'm really impressed with it, but... Hopefully they can get Ubuntu working on it. I know you said there's some issues with the Wi-Fi card in there and the Ethernet too, right?
Right, yeah. The Ethernet is Atheros L1E Gigabit LAN. And
right.
The Wi-Fi is a Raylink chipset. Both of the drivers are available online. Raylink has the drivers for the Wi-Fi on their site. And if you look up some of the ASUS P5Q motherboards that mm-hmm. also have the L1E chipset, you can download the Linux drivers and get the Linux drivers for the LAN there. But pretty much everything else just works.
Have they tried Indus Wrapper with that yet?
With the Windows driver?
No, I haven't.
Maybe that might work.
Might be.
Possibility. And the Ash Wrapper will say. That's good, man. I'm glad they're revving things up and moving it up and, really and pushing it. Yeah. Cool. Good times for little mini laptops. Awesome. So what's the official policy? All operating systems are supported?
Well, I can support most of them.
Because you work in the support area, don't you? You actually get calls.
Right, yes, I do the technical support. Officially on the EPC, the only operating system that's officially supported is the Zandros that it comes with.
Right.
But if you happen to get me on the phone, I don't mind walking through Ubuntu or Fedora or one of the other distributions.
Right.
I've got my book full of CDs, and I'm free to just walk up, grab a motherboard, set it up, and play with it.
That's
it's
awesome,
only a matter of time
man.
To all the different distros running all these different machines.
I would expect, yeah. For a whole pile of netbook-capable distros to be right around the corner. They have fantastic support already with the triple EPC. I'm kind of waiting for that a little bit on the Asus Aspire 1. I expect it won't be too long for that either, but...
Give it a little time.
Yeah.
Have you tried anything else on the Flash? On
I haven't really played with it. I haven't had it long enough yet to play with anything. So it's that whole, you know, got it right before it's time to go to the show and busy getting ready for the show thing. And but, I mean, all in all, it the Linux that it has on it, the Linpus Linux, which is Fedora 8 based, runs really well and really fast. So there isn't a whole lot of problems with that. I would like to try something else on there, though, I think.
What are you thinking? Are you Ubuntu?
I would like to try the Ubuntu stuff on there. That the new netbook Ubuntu Spin. Stuff that they have. I like the menu system that they have on there. It's really nice. So.
The netbook release. Netbook release. That's one I'm running on my 701. I have the
right.
Ubuntu One netbook release. It's really great. The UME launcher is a nice launcher.
Right.
There's one little bug. It will lock up upon resume from suspend.
Right.
So I just set up I just wrote a script that bounces that. So I basically just have a button on my a toolbar hooked to that script and click it and bounces it and I get the launcher back. So.
Yeah. And I never have a problem with that anyway because I just turn it off, you know.
Yeah. It's all right. I mean, but I can't. You know, I like how the Ubuntu works. I'm kind of hoping is Asus gonna consider looking at Ubuntu for their official or.
That's what I've been kind of pushing for. I think they're gonna stick with the Zandros though.
The Zandros is nice, and actually, you know, I have no problem. Really, I have no problems with that for the appliance, you know, because it's more or less. For some people, there you go. For some people, it's more like an appliance.
Up to your mouth, buddy. There you go.
And the Zandros is rock hard stable on that. I mean, I've had no when I ran Zandros, I had no problems with it.
Right.
I mean, it was wonderful. You know, I got rid of the what is the launcher on the official? What's the name of it?
It's a modified version of IceWM that is running.
That's what I thought it was.
It's got like KDE running in the background, so
right.
it's kind of a blend of two or three different things.
So and for first time Linux users, it's wonderful. I mean, it's great to learn on. You can learn a lot with it, but if you're like at all like us,
right?
And you're beyond that, and you want to look at things like Compiz and more up to date Zandros, and or not Zandros. I'm sorry. GNOME or KDE, maybe even KDE 4. You know, and I think you know.
personally, now I like the large screen, but I still think there's a market for the smaller screens too. Like the
well,
sevens.
Sure. I mean, a lot of the whole thing with the netbook is that portability issue. Mm-hmm. Some people are going to like the smaller one.
That's right.
Because it, you know, fits in their purse better or whatever.
Yeah, that's the funniest thing is the amount
that's
of,
the truth, though. You know, I mean, I've heard people say that. Oh, the little one, it fits right in my purse, you know.
The
I mean, look at Pat. It fits right in Pat's purse.
Hold on a second. My son escaping. I better chase him.
It's tough when you got little kids running around and you got to keep an eye on them. You got to talk into the mic.
I got it shut down now if we want to do a boot test.
We're going to do a boot test here.
All right. We'll do a boot test. Let me get my laptop out. Hang on.
Okay, we're going to do a boot test here with the new EEPC. What model is it again? The 1000?
This is the 1000.
Against the Acer Aspire 1.
It's the first time I've seen the Aspire.
Ready? On three. One, two, three. Okay, they're going here. It's lit. Oh, it looks like the Acer might be. I see it. There's a mouse.
It's done.
Acer looks like it won.
Okay, so yeah, it's a little bit quicker.
This is still going.
Ace is done. It's already up. That's the full operating
system. There's the X.
Everything else is running behind there, just like it's supposed to.
So the Acer wins the
boot test. Not that anybody can hear me because I wasn't talking in the mic, but yes, the Acer did win.
Did win the boot test.
Did win the boot test.
Yeah, well.
Well, mine was a little faster than that. It couldn't have been 15, you think?
Was it 15?
Maybe 10.
Yeah, that's pretty quick, man.
It was pretty damn
still
fast.
A very nice machine, man.
I'm envious. That's a pretty looking machine.
It's good that they're progressing it and keeping it going and revving it up.
What I really dig about that, more and more, the more I check it out, is it doesn't collect fingerprints as bad as mine does.
Right.
The Acer Aspire 1, I'm telling you, the Acer Aspire 1 gets fingerprints better than the FBI.
Link, you know? I saw on QVC they had a pink one, so maybe you should have watched
the pink. They do have all kinds of different. They have black ones and
like a green, like
green
a lime green
kind of thing. And of course, the only ones that were available when I got mine was the
black.
Blue color. No, it's,
okay.
It's like a
navy blue.
Navy blue almost.
Yeah, I think that's the one part where we kind of lack. We've got the ebony that's really shiny and
collects. That's pretty shiny too, though.
Yeah.
Same deal.
Yeah, but this thing is just this is horrible, man. You get the fingerprints on there.
They used to have multicolors in the 700 series. I don't know what happened to those.
Good stuff. Well, Chad, it was nice talking to you again.
Yeah.
Good to see you again.
Thanks for stopping by, man.
Definitely. All
right.
See ya. That was Chad. And we got somebody else here. Come on over, Russ. Come say hi. Speak into the mic. You can adjust it to your proper height if you'd like.
Okay. We're good. We're good.
Pat says speak into the mic, and Russ says, shut the hell up, man.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good. How's it going? How's the wireless link up working?
It's going real well, man. It's the speed. I'm getting really good speed in here. I'm getting about 1.8 megabits down and about 400 kps up.
Oh, that's great, man.
Yeah, so it's,
cool.
It's way enough to do some streaming. I've been going here for about 45 minutes now.
Cool.
It's good.
Can you tell if anyone's listening to the stream?
There's some guys in the RC, actually, that are here.
A little bit every now and then in the chat room.
Yeah, there's a few guys in there. Claudio's over there. I see NM Yoda's in there. Freddy's in there. Baswell.
So they get to hear the live stuff, and then everybody else is going to catch it on the podcast later on.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm really glad that we're streaming.
Provided the recording is going out. You're recording there?
Yes, I am.
And Alan's recording on his way cool external microphone thingy there.
So how'd it go? Russ, for people who don't know, you do the Linux Distro podcast as well as the Techie Geek, right?
That's right. I do the Distro Watch weekly podcast. Comes out every Monday evening. And the Techie Geek podcast comes out bi-weekly.
Never heard of it.
So you live outside of Philadelphia, right?
That's right. I live about 35 miles northeast or northwest of Philadelphia. Right
northwest.
Between Philly and Allentown.
Whereabouts?
Little town, little village called Perkiomenville.
Perkiomenville.
Kind of near Harleysville, if you've ever heard
yes,
of Harleysville.
Yes, I know Harleysville.
I live 35 miles west of Philly in Downingtown.
Okay.
So you are not that far away from me whatsoever.
Yep.
Very, very.
You're here with your dad.
That's right. My dad, Bill Wenner, he's standing behind me.
Hello.
My dad's a newbie Linux user. It's funny, last year, him and I went to the Bloomsburg Fair together, and I said, this weekend is this thing called the Ohio Linux Fest, and if we hadn't already planned to come to the Bloomsburg Fair, I would probably be there right now. And that's the first time he ever heard of the Ohio Linux Fest. And over the last year, you know, I brought it up, and a picnic at his house on Memorial Day, you know, he asked me what I had going on, and I was saying, trying to decide if I want to make this 9-hour drive out to Ohio to go to the Ohio Linux Fest. And just one thing led to another, and he said, well, if you want to go, I'll go with you, and we'll split the cost. And
cool,
that
got
pretty much
got some time together and hang out again.
Yeah, yeah, it's been
great.
Way
to do it.
We came in early on Thursday afternoon, and it's been great. Did a little sightseeing.
Guys enjoying yourself.
Oh, yeah, big time.
And check Columbus is, out and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Happy business.
Yeah. Beautiful town.
Yeah. It's a nice city, Columbus.
Yeah. And the Drury Inn is wonderful. Like, any listener that's ever thought about coming to something like this, the accommodations are great. The cost is real reasonable. The convention center here in Columbus is just awesome, man.
You make a kicking breakfast,
yeah,
too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the free breakfast was real good. So we're real glad we came. So
good to have you.
Yep.
So with your podcast, like, how often do you do both of them? The Techie Geek is every week, right?
Well, the Techie Geek started as a weekly podcast, but the pressures of life and things have kind of backed it off to a bi-weekly. I try to record it every other week on a Thursday or Friday and release it on a Sunday afternoon. And the DistroWatch Weekly comes out. So far, since I took over the show, I haven't missed them a week yet. That's easier to do because the content's prepared for me.
Right.
I read Ladislav's blog post into the mic every Monday and then edit. And there's no show notes to do. It's just an RSS feed. So
you get the weekly entry over at the DistroWatch site.
Yeah, yeah.
So now, how do you find time to fit all that in? See, a lot of people will say that to us. Oh, we don't know how you guys keep going.
Yeah.
You guys do this two-hour show every week, year after year. But we have, you know, four guys that do the show. It makes it a lot easier for us to do a podcast like that with regularity because we can bounce off one another. And, you know, if Alan doesn't feel like talking for the day, God forbid.
Alan talks. I didn't know Alan talks.
Or something in a while. Like
that. There's other people to take care
right.
of. But you are doing this all by yourself. So, you know, that's a real commitment there, you know?
Yeah, well, it started with a conversation with my wife. She knew I was interested in doing this. It was a hobby that I was interested in. Was interested in Linux for a long time. And I told her that I wanted to try giving podcasting a try. She said, you know, just don't let it become your life. Keep your priorities straight. And
little did she know.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and so far, you know, finding the balance, that's the key, you know.
Right.
Family and work and other responsibilities comes before this. This is my hobby. I mean, I love to do it, but I have to keep that perspective. Then, you know, with the time commitment, the editing and the show notes take the longest. So if I could simply record, save it as an MP3 and OGG and post it, it would take a lot less time. So, you know, and as I get better at talking into a microphone and less ums and ahs and whatever.
That's okay. I do that all the time.
then
people
I'm
don't
getting,
realize
I've
how
actually,
much of an issue that is.
Oh, yeah. When you actually
either,
sit
yeah.
back and play back doing editing, you do an interview and you'll hear how many times you do,
right.
You get listen
so
to
I
some
edit
of our
that all
it's tedious
out.
Very
so
quickly.
If you listen to the Techie Geek or the DistroWatch Weekly and you think, wow, Russ never goes or ah, that's because I've cut it all out.
It's because you spent 40 hours editing
right.
them
with
out,
the DistroWatch
right?
Weekly, the hardest thing to do is to get the pronunciation of all the European developers and some of the distros, the names they come out with are just hard to pronounce the packages
sure.
and the version numbers. I've kind of developed a system where if a new distro
like
comes
Yggdrasil.
Out and
remember
they're talking about 10 different new packages that were installed and they all have version numbers. It's just maddening to try to read them all. So I'll just say, and it includes a new version of the GIMP or the latest version of GNOME. You know, instead of reading all the versions, the one that I will read the version number is the kernel, because I think the listeners want to know the specific kernel that's in the distro. Mm-hmm. So I do read that one out. But yeah, it does take time, but I love it. And as soon as I don't love it, that's probably when I'll, you know, back off. But something like the Ohio Linux Fest is just awesome, man.
It's good to meet a lot of people that, you know, you talk to in IRC all the time.
Yeah.
You trade, you know, bulletin boards and trade emails with. You get to know people, and then when you actually see the person's face and meet them in person, it definitely brings that level of connection up to a higher level.
I really love coming here and meeting all the other podcasters. The people that do the same sort of things that we do, you know, is really cool.
Yeah, that's
everybody
right.
Everybody listens to each other's shows, and it's great to be able to put faces and to names. And
I've listened to you guys for over 2 years, probably closer to three, and listened to Chad, Linux Basement, and Dave Yates, a lot of Linux Links since the very first episodes. Mm-hmm. Klaatu's, The Bad Apples, and Fedora Reloaded. It's just been great to meet them all. So it's been wonderful.
I think it's good because, you know, everybody can do a different show. We listen to each other. We inspire each other. We learn from each other. There's definitely a sense of community amongst us. You know, we're not really competitive. You know, it's all good fun, really.
Yep.
Big family of like-minded individuals.
I enjoy it. It's good. You know, when we first started out, you know, we didn't really have anybody really encourage us.
No, we had people that discouraged us. And
we won't say names.
Not to mention the fact that when we started doing this, we were the only people other than the Linux show that was doing it. So,
yeah, the word podcast wasn't invented yet.
Podcast didn't exist until what, 2000?
Was it about 4 years?
2003, 2004.
Right. 2004. We've been doing this
September
for
September of
2003. Just about.
So where is Dan?
Recovering.
Where is Dan?
Dan is recovering still.
Oh, okay.
We probably ought to send someone back to check on him at some point in time.
Yeah, we had quite the night last night. That was great going to the Mongolian Grill and then over to Barley's. That was awesome. It was a great time.
Yeah, some people had a better time than others.
Yeah, I got to bed around midnight, so I kept it in perspective.
Me too. I tried to go to bed early. I didn't really get much sleep, though. But I tried to be good about it.
Yeah.
Even though I probably drank three times what Dan drank. He only did it in about a quarter of the time that I did mine. So that probably explains it. You need to pace yourself.
Yeah.
You know? We're not 18 anymore, you know.
No,
you got to pace
yourself.
That's
for sure.
Got to keep the energy level up, you know. A lot of times people go apeshit at these conferences where they'll get really, really, really... They'll party. They won't get much sleep, and you know, halfway through the conference, they're zombies. And you really can't enjoy it unless you got your wits to you.
That's right.
I did real well last night. I only had one beer.
Well, you're not a beer drinker.
That
Link.
Was it.
Yep.
I'm a beer drinker. I love beer.
Yeah, but I didn't have any scotch either. I mean, that's all I had was one beer.
Right.
Beer and a Coke. But
we'll talk to you in a second, there, Brian.
Okay. All right.
Well, Russ, you know, it's nice talking to you. Great meeting you in person.
Yes, it was great to meet you guys.
Yep, we'll talk later.
You going to the after party?
Of course, we'll be
okay.
There.
Okay, all right, then I'll see you then.
We are the after party. That's when Dan is going to wake up.
See you guys then.
Talk to you later, Russ. Enjoy. Bye, Bill. Hey, Brian, come on over. Say hi.
And here we have the one, the only shop rat.
Brian.
Howdy.
So how's everything going, man? Shop rat. You showed up at Linux World Expo in Boston when we were up there.
Yep, I'm looking forward to the Southeast.
And you've been hanging out with us every other show that we go to.
Oh, yeah.
And you come from Michigan. You're from Detroit, right?
Correct.
And what do you do professionally?
I'm an
hitman.
Admin, scripter. I do Unix boxes for a software company that's police software.
You
I
do,
should talk to you.
You do a lot of what? AIX?
AIX based, yeah. Our software, if somebody runs your plate, it goes back and forth to the laptop, to the state, the messaging.
Cool. And obviously you run Linux at home, right, mostly?
That's all I run.
What distros you running?
Mostly Arch. I have
Vistra?
One Ubuntu. and the rest of them are Arch.
Ubuntu and Vista, right?
Yeah, Windows, ME, yeah, that was me.
So what do you like about Arch? What appeals about Arch?
I like the package management. I really like Pac-Man. I like, you know, they put the packages in there pretty quickly, the new stuff. You don't have to upgrade everything. I like it.
You know what I really enjoyed about Arch? Waking up in the morning after my auto updates to find out that I didn't have X anymore and my kernel wouldn't boot.
You know, they're pretty stable
now. I thought that was
It's gotten better. Honestly, it has gotten a lot better.
I'll give it another try. I really did like it when it ran. Because it runs really well. It's a very lean distribution.
It boots
Reminds
fast.
Me a
it's
lot of Slackware.
Yes, yes. To me.
And Slackware is like the ultimate.
Arch, you know, is kind of
I got a Slack box at home, too.
Arch was really, really lean and nice and fast. Like I said, the only problem I had with it whatsoever is waking up in the morning to a computer that wasn't running, couldn't get the kernel going, and when you did, X wouldn't work. You know,
yeah, I don't do auto updates. So. I like to have control.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole thing with Arch is a very small distro, and I don't think they had the staff to test everything the way that they should have.
Well, and I know that the staff has changed, too, since I've been...
It's been a while since you tried it.
Since I've tried it, so I'll have to give it another go.
Yeah, I like Arch.
I did enjoy it.
I have a huge fondness in my heart for Debian-based distros. I like Ubuntu. I got Ubuntu running on this laptop that we're actually streaming the show through right now, which is a Dell. My main workstation at home is an Ubuntu box. I'm actually considering maybe trying something else, either a vanilla Debian or maybe even a Citix. I was playing around a little bit with Citix.
That out, actually,
Citix is really nice. I like it a lot. Citix is put together by a bunch of German developers mostly, who are ex-Canonix developers. And basically, they use Debian as their default base, install base. And they've tweaked it a bit to make it more desktop-oriented. It's 100% fully compatible with Debian. So you can hook into the Debian repos and pull everything down.
That's
and
awesome.
You won't break anything. And it's real nice. So I don't know. What I'm probably going to wind up doing is I'm going to upgrade to IBEX.
Did you try GOS yet?
I don't like that. I'm not crazy about that interface.
I think it's pretty cool.
I don't
it
like
needs
it.
A little work, but it's pretty cool. I don't like the menus.
It's too Mac wannabe, I think, that dock.
I don't like the menu system. Other than that, it's pretty cool, and they need it. But they need to do a few tweaks and get a few things ironed out
right here
and there. I also like PC Linux OS. That's
I haven't tried that
a
one
nice
yet either.
Distribution. That also needs an update in the worst way. It's PC Linux OS. Their latest version is 2007 or something like that.
Needs a revision.
Yeah, it really needs a revision. But it's good stuff. You know, it's a good base. And I never thought I would ever say that about a Mandrake-based distribution or Mandriva or whatever the hell you want to call it now, right?
Right.
Mandriva, I guess it is.
Yeah.
But
a lot of good distros that appeal to different sets of people. You know, you got something for the newbie, something for someone who's more intermediate.
I never thought I would enjoy running like this Linpus stuff that's running on my new laptop, which is Fedora 8 based. Because traditionally, I hate RPM based distros, and but this one just runs.
Yeah, but a mini laptop like that, it's a little bit of a different beast, you know. There's a certain set of applications that you know you're going to run, you know.
Right.
Fedora's cool. It's the first distro I ever tried out was Fedora. It's not bad.
Yeah, I started a Red Hat back in the day. And Dan and Link here have always been very high on Slackware. And, I was in the same luck with those guys.
It's better than everything else. That's why.
I came a little late to the party when it came to Linux, so I started in the Fedoras.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You go full circle. You try things out. You see what you like the best, and then you stick with it.
Yeah, go make a loop around the different distributions, and then when
everybody
you try them all,
here's
the key, though. After you try them all, make another loop around, try them again, because they've all changed.
Right,
you know what
absolutely.
I mean?
That's the best part about it.
So, and the way things have progressed so rapidly in the, you know, I say so rapidly, but I've been using Linux for 10, 12 years now or something like that. But the way things have progressed, each loop around, you know, things get more and more interesting, and they run better, much, much better. Things have become easier and more stable. It's just something really cool. You can,
more mature.
You know, yeah, you can check it out and enjoy it on the way.
So you enjoyed the party last night?
I very well enjoyed the party last night.
I don't think you enjoyed it as much
as Dan. I sound like it.
I heard about you. You were like one of the last few people that were there.
Yeah.
And you were going to all the places too, weren't you?
Yeah, we went a couple other places.
Well, what time did the bars close in Columbus? 2 o'clock?
I don't know. I was in bed by like 1:30. I got back to my room about 1:15. But if I sound like a blithering idiot today, it's because basically I am.
But you always have a good time.
Oh, yeah. I like these conferences. You get to talk to people that, you know, everybody from the IRC that you talk to, Verbal and Mrs. Verbal. And
right.
Jordan was here. And I mean, it's basically just to get together with buds that you talk to on the internet.
Yeah, man.
Plus, this one is a little less corporate than...
Very less corporate. This is definitely a more of a community-centric event. It's not corporate at all. There are some vendors, and starting this year, what they did was they stuck them in a different area. And
it's a little spread out this year.
It's a little weird. It's still taking a little to get used to be honest. It's different than what.
Then we have this fencing tournament going on.
This is kind of cool.
Right across the hall from us, so you get to see people walking around with like swords and.
I don't know. I think it would be cool if they did it to the death.
Yeah. No pads.
Take the training tips off the front of them suckers, right?
Just find out how brave you are.
No more, seriously. No more buzzes when you hit somebody. Just listen for the scream.
Just keep hitting them until they stop.
That one's down. Get the stretcher.
We've got a down fencer.
Go there and hit each other with baseball bats or something. Right.
Someone's going to come out with a bat with like rusty nails sticking on the end of it. That I would like to see.
It's fascinating to watch, though. I was watching them through the little doorway there, and they're quick.
That's cool.
It's interesting stuff. I just don't know if it has a lot of practical application, you know?
Yeah, later on in life, and be a fencer.
All right, Brian Wells, right. Good talking to you. Thanks for having me on. We'll talk later.
I want to say hello to Kent and tell him to get here next year.
Hi, Kent.
And Trolls.
And Trolls, of course.
And Ben.
Ben's got no excuses next year. So we got another listener who's been on the show and called in.
Cheers.
How's it going?
Not too bad. A little hungover, a little tired, a little lack of sleep.
Now you're known as Deptry.
That's right. Actually, nice pronunciation there. most people say Deptry, but in fact it's Deptchai. Chai like a CH, but it's a TR.
Now you go to Vietnam quite a bit, right? Your wife is Vietnamese?
Yeah, exactly. So I used to live over there, but lately we've been staying in America for the last year or so. I've only been over there for a few short trips, you know. So I'm a little bit less in touch right now with what the open source situation is over there than I was a year or two ago. But I still stay in touch a little bit, you know.
And when you were there, it was pretty big, right? The whole scene.
It's a little different than here.
Let me ask you: the Windows piracy is rampant over there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the differences is that actually there's essentially no enforcement of any kind of IP law. You know, pirated DVDs, pirated software is very rampant, including in sort of corporate settings, where over here you would just never see that in like real formal big companies. Offices, government offices, things like that. Not at all unusual to see, pirated Windows and whatnot.
You go walking through the market and you'll see some guy sitting in the corner with a bunch of pirated Windows software.
Or just preloaded when you buy it from the shop, you know.
They think nothing of putting pirated version on it.
Absolutely nothing. I'm not sure they're even aware that there is.
They don't know what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't know the difference.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a consciousness, the whole... Yeah. This is just what they're used to.
Exactly. So what happens is, the only guys that actually would have to pay those kind of licenses turns out to be kind of like the NGOs who are kind of international organizations like the UN and the charities and whatnot.
Trade organizations. Mm-hmm.
Those guys get audited from some kind of, there's some, I don't know exactly how because I don't really work for them, but they have some kind of international company or some kind of monitoring that comes in and checks that they're right. Kind of following the laws. And also now there's a bit of an IT industry building up over there. And so you got guys who are doing outsourcing for some foreign companies.
And they have to be...
A lot of those ones, yeah, the companies will...
Just sort of simple fact that they're doing business with Western countries.
Right, so...
And they're under scrutiny if they don't follow
right,
the laws.
Right, so the client company or, the host company that say, an American company or European company or whatever would kind of require... But, and other than that, you know, it's 100% pirated, and you're really not going to be able to make a case for open source software on a financial basis.
Right.
Right.
So the case is going to have to be made on, quality, philosophical, and freedom, and so forth like that. Now, interestingly, though, one other difference is that is that there are, I think, more government initiatives. There are definitely some government initiatives over there to try to promote open source software in a way that you just don't really see it over here, aside from, you know, over here, I think there was the thing in Massachusetts, for example, a few years back. And as we know, that was hotly contested by the Microsoft and other corporate people that came in there and tried to exert pressure, heavy pressure on those politicians based on the kind of money that was involved.
Sure, it's revenue loss for them, you know.
Right, but I mean, other than that, it's pretty much you're on your own over here. You're not going to get much support from the government in terms of promoting open source. Whereas over there, there are some pretty big government initiatives, and I'm not all that familiar with how well those have progressed. But I think from what I've seen, it's been a lot more talk than action.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
More or less posturing on their part.
Yeah, I think that I really don't want to talk about something that I don't know for sure anything about, but I think that a lot of it, and this may be the case in a lot of other like third world countries also, that they're getting there may be some kind of international organizations that are kind of sponsoring them to do that, or maybe they're getting some kind of money or something like that. I'm not really sure, but there are some government initiatives over there. But so leaving that aside, yeah, one of the biggest places that you see open source turning up over there is in these NGOs and types of organizations, aid organizations, things like that are over there, because they are subject to those IP constraints, and those are traditionally kind of not having a lot of money kind of, you know, organizations.
Sure. Makes sense
for
them.
Yeah, so for them, it can often come down to a financial decision. You know, and also the kind of person that gets involved in that kind of thing tends to be a sort of a ideal, I don't know what the word is, you know, kind of a freedom-loving kind of a person.
Right.
Some of your more liberal types you might run into.
They don't want to be tied down to a corporate vendor or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. So there are some initiatives. There's a lot of activity on that NGO side, and I even got involved in that a little bit over there.
But you were doing development, right? I remember you were talking about some applications.
In fact, now more recently I've been doing some development, some open source development actually.
You're doing what stuff with QT, right?
Exactly. On top of QT, not working on QT, but developing
using
it as the toolkit, developing in C++, open source software. That in that case, that was for medical research. A medical research group that's up in the Detroit area, and I kind of got in the door because they needed some sysadmin work on Linux, and then. I told them, yeah, I'm a software developer, and they needed some software developed, so I managed to kind of under the radar get some open source things going on in there. Because it's research, it's supported by grants, they're not that concerned. You know, a lot of times when you're in the business environment, people start feeling like it's their intellectual property, it's their proprietary code, they paid you to do it, they really don't want it. They don't want their competitors getting a hold of it. You know, they feel like they might lose their competitive edge. So it's a lot harder to talk people into saying, yeah, pay me to write this, and then we're going to open source it. You know, it's not an easy sell to make sometimes, whereas in this research environment, it's a lot easier.
How'd you like working with QT?
It's got advantages and disadvantages.
Now let me ask you, it was
just like anything else.
Was just like anything else.
Was the software specifically for one platform, like Windows or Linux, or was it a cross-platform thing?
Cross-platform. Backend is PostgreSQL.
So basically, you're doing a front-end client for database application.
Exactly. It's like a two-tier client-server type of a thing. Is the way I chose to do it. That was another nice thing about working in this research environment. They pretty much give you free rein to kind of like.
Do whatever you want. It's kind of nice. It's liberating. You can go crazy.
But one of the things that happened was their client workstations were already.
You can actually program an application that works.
Yeah,
that's right. Take your time doing it properly.
their client workstations were already running Windows. I literally had enough freedom that I probably could have converted them 100% to Linux. I had their backend servers running Linux, and they were doing a lot of these guys are doing a lot of these genetics and genomics type of very compute heavy applications. So that stuff typically is done on
HPC
Linux.
There?
No, they may get into it, but what they're limiting themselves to right now are just multi-core. They've got like some 8-core machines,
right.
So it'll be all on one machine, but it'll be kind of like a monster machine. not as monster as some of them get to be, but as monster as you can get without getting real expensive, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what the back end is doing. But for the front end, like some of the data collection that these guys are doing, they already were running on Linux workstations and Windows workstations, and it was a little difficult to convert them because they had some kind of proprietary Hooks. Hardware they were using that was right. like medical equipment stuff, yeah. and things like that that comes with closed source software that sure. is very difficult to use this hardware without the software, and it's a real
You basically got to backwards engineer it.
It's like a, yeah, and it is.
Very difficult.
It's like a case study in why not to use closed source software, because they've had nothing but trouble with this stuff.
Can't fix it. If there's something odd that you want to do, you can't do anything.
Yeah, and if you call up the vendor and say, oh, yeah, well, you know, we like this customization, or we just need access to our data. I mean, literally, as simple as getting your data that you own and you collected out of the thing. I mean, they'll say, do you want the six-figure or the seven-figure quote on, right. you know, how much it's going to cost you to pay us to get it out, you know? So kind of a case study. But leaving that aside, for that reason, and because I didn't want to take the time to try to get that running under, like, VM or something like that, I just right. decided to go with a cross-platform solution. I could do all my development on Linux, but I would still be able to
right. you just deploy it on the Windows side.
Right. And I chose Qt.
Good approach to take. I'm a professional software developer myself, and right. it's good to see that a lot of other people are aiming for the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be cross-platform. You want to be open as possible. You want to be able to have something that runs on whatever platform your client is actually using.
Right. It's such a bigger job. It's already enough of a sell to try to get people to choose a new platform or a new development environment maybe that they haven't
used.
And
if you can develop on, say, Linux or Unix or whatever, and just deploy to, say, Windows or Mac or whatever,
right.
it's great.
And from the developer's perspective, you feel a lot more comfortable with it, because I literally never have to boot a Windows box. I never have to touch it, because I've got a cross-compiler that comes right with their Debian packages.
You don't have them running in a virtual machine so that you could just check out your packages?
I don't even do that.
I have Windows running in a virtual machine.
But you can, and I think you're using WX Windows, right? Is what you're using?
I'm doing Java mostly, and some Python stuff. So the Python stuff, you can build the packages, but you got to build it specific on that platform.
Okay. Well, and effectively the same thing on this side, like say with the Qt. But what I've done is use the MinGW or MingW. I'm not sure how you say it. Right. Cross compiler. You run it on Linux, compiles for Windows, links for Windows, everything.
Builds it and everything.
I can deploy the whole thing.
It's all set to go and deploy
it
right from there.
File server, let their Windows clients connect to it and run the software off the
server. Same on any platform.
I literally never need to see.
Now, let me ask you, like, I do a lot of Java stuff, and Java, if you use the Java toolkits for applications, it's somewhat specific to each platform. It tries to mimic the operating system look and feel, or you could set it so that it looks
right.
the same. Now, with Qt, it's pretty much the same interface, right? We look at other applications that are built
with Qt.
No,
that's not entirely true. Actually, Qt is all right, let me start with explaining how the Qt one works, as well as I understand it anyhow, is that it has, similar to, say, Swing, okay, it has a sort of a pluggable look and feel type of a
right.
thing. Okay, if you're familiar with Swing, it has the
yes.
PLAF, pluggable look and feel. In the case of Qt, however, When you use one look and feel, you can set it to, say, called Windows, and you can run on Linux. Your app will look like a Windows app. I don't know why you would want that, but you can do it. You could. There's a Macintosh look and feel and so forth. Yet, if you're on a Windows machine and you use the Windows look and feel, it makes native calls.
Yeah, it looks
use the native widgets.
Right. right.
Whereas it's sort of an emulation of it in some way
right.
on the Linux side. I don't want to, you know, say something that's not true.
So you
that's
can
my
do both, basically, is what you're saying.
Well, what I'm saying is it probably looks more like Windows on Windows than it does on what? Now, personally, I'm not a big fan of that anyhow. I don't like the whole pluggable look and feel concept. I think it makes it really hard to make customized widgets and so forth.
Sure.
You know, if I want to make a custom, that's fine. If I just want to use their widgets, okay, they've already implemented the five different look and feels for a slider or for a, you know, text box
right.
or whatever. But say I want to make my own widget of a special kind of a slider or a, you know, whatever else. what, I have to re-implement it like five times for these five
I understand what you're saying.
I mean, that's crap, right. You know?
You want to do it once and be done with it.
Want to do it once and be done with it. And that is one of my problems with QT and with swing, both of them. Right. I got a big problem with it on both sides. And I have some other problems with QT too, but you know, no environment is perfect.
Right? Have you tried any of the WX widgets?
I very briefly looked at that when I was going to choose a platform for this project that I'm working on now, because you know, like I was looking for a cross platform, and that's one of the ones.
I've been doing some Python stuff, and I've been playing with the WX widget set.
Yeah, how is it?
And it's kind of it lends itself to look native to that particular platform.
Right. Okay.
But it's the same across everything.
Right.
You know, there's nothing specific for each platform.
It was really just a toss of a coin for me that made me end up going with Qt instead of WX Windows. But I think maybe what it was, I felt like there might have been a more mature GUI layout app. A form designer, I guess you call it. Yeah,
GUI layout.
Do you have something you're using for WX Windows for that? I think there are a couple of them. They seem very beta. Let's say to me.
It depends on what
alpha
you want.
Maybe.
You've got WX Glade.
Okay.
WX Glade will let you do the layout and put the widgets down, you know.
Right.
And then it'll generate the code for what you have for your widget set, and then you can go build the actual functioning code in the background behind
right,
it.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and so I don't know.
There's pluses and minuses to using something like that.
Exactly, yeah.
You could put something up together pretty quickly. The negative is I don't think you have as tight a control over everything, and I don't think the code is as tight as you might want it to be.
Yeah, I would agree with you about that, but geez.
It all depends on what the aim is. I mean, if you're short on time, by all means, go ahead and use it and bang it out, you know?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've seen some pretty nice apps developed using form designers, and if you have a good one, it will generate some pretty nice stuff on the back end. One of the things I'm a big fan of is the ability to save those forms out and load them up at runtime, okay, right. Which Qt does not do. I think most of the Java designer, I'm not sure about on the Java side, what are they doing, like NetBeans and those things. But
I use Eclipse quite a bit.
Yeah, now Eclipse, typically, doesn't that use like SWT or something?
SWT, if you're doing, that's like the default widget set.
Right, and I'm completely unfamiliar with it, but can you design forms in the Eclipse environment? Or?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know either. Anyhow, so like you said, there's pluses and minuses, and when I'm in a bad mood, I focus on the minuses, and when I'm in a good mood, I focus on the pluses. So anyhow.
Well, cool talking to you. We appreciate it.
Let's,
enjoy the conference.
Thank you very much.
Thanks
it's great to be here.
Good to see you again.
Okay, take care.
Good stuff. It's good to see, you know, talk to people who are actually doing the development work, find out what they're using. Now, we were getting the stinky finger look from somebody over here. They were, like, hovering around, and I don't know where this person went. I think he wanted to come on and say hello.
I got to get off the mic for a second myself, because it's time for me to hit the roll aids, I think.
All right, we're going to take a little break. I'll leave the stream up, but I think I'm going to stop the recording, and then we'll start again in a little bit, okay? Talk to you guys in a little bit. Bye.
When I saw that fat man keel over and die, Michael... We don't have a lot of time on this earth. We weren't meant to spend it this way. Human beings were not meant to sit in little cubicles staring at computer screens all day, filling out useless forms and listening to eight different bosses drone on about mission statements.
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday. Studies have statistically shown that there's less chance of an incident if you do it at the end of the week. What would you say you do here?
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?